Over the past number of years, American entertainment company A24 has established itself as a force to be reckoned with in the landscape of modern cinema. An unassuming production company and distributor, whose ghostly arrival has garnered widespread critical acclaim and even prestigious recognition from the Academy itself, with Moonlight's dark horse victory over La La Land at the 2017 Academy Awards ceremony. The company has made a name for itself in the industry by releasing low-budget, critically successful indie films that may win awards but don't necessarily win over audiences. In the past few years, an area which has prevailed as one of A24's fortes is their ever-growing catalogue of unique indie horror films. Since the establishment of the literary horror genre, critics have been determined to define the content depending on the text, and as the genre continues to develop, the discussion surrounding these definitions and their applicability has carried over into the world of film. Sitting atop the mountain of commercial and critical success for A24 is Ari Aster's troubling masterpiece, the 2018 film Hereditary. One of the most critically acclaimed movies of the year, Hereditary has amassed an impressive 89% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, on top of its impressive box office intake. But a glaring discrepancy lies between the critics to audience reaction to the film. Similar to its A24 peers, The Witch and It Comes at Night, the film failed to impress mainstream moviegoers generally, and received a D+ grade on CinemaScore, a polling website which measures and rates audience viewing experiences in cinemas across America. What separates these films from their jump scare riddled rivals? And is it feasible to fund more projects like Hereditary in future, if audience reactions continue to dip so far below their critical counterparts? The term post-horror, coined by Steve Rose in his Guardian piece, How Post-Horror Movies Are Taking Over Cinema, has been used to define this current vogue subgenre of horror. But what does it mean, and where did it come from? Is it really a new genre or just a new way of presenting classic horror ideas? In this podcast, we will discuss A24 and their contributions to the emergence of post-horror.
So, have A24 created a new, better style of horror film? Or are all these films nothing we haven't seen before, but something that the audiences are no longer used to?
I would argue that it's still horror, but it's returning to a style of subtle scares that we would have seen in like the 60s and 70s, as opposed to the kind of relentless gore porn that we've been ODing on for the past 15 years. So like something that I remember about the original Haunting of Hill House in the 1960s is how understated those scares were, and they were so effective. So like, for example, they just had kind of mirrors hanging at really weird angles to make the rooms feel really uneasy, and it just felt really off, and yeah.
Look, I know the supernatural is something that isn't supposed to happen, but it does happen.
Now look, Doc, we're buddies, okay? But don't try to convert me.
I'm trying to prepare you.
I came to Hill House to find the key to another world.
I'd put forward that in a way it is a new style of horror. Besides a couple of exceptions of films like The Shining, Rosemary's Baby, maybe the original Suspiria, I'd be tentative to describe it as better than anything that's come before it though. People like what they like, and whether that one style is better than the other is pretty much subjective. So I do feel that A24's contributions have a more arthouse feel than any of the successful horrors, with that sort of subtle approach to scares that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I agree. The films that A24 have pushed are definitely more arthouse than the mainstream. And I suppose that's kind of the crux of my point, though, is that arthouse films are still out there. They just haven't been getting the big releases that A24 are giving their films.
Yeah, I suppose in that case, the argument could be made that A24 are introducing a new audience to modern horror more so than creating an entirely new subgenre. I can't really think of too many horror films released since the early 80s-ish, right up until kind of the past 4 or 5 years, that could be appreciated by horror buffs who are really just looking to get spooked properly, and also by movie geeks who are looking at films from a more analytical perspective.
You know, if you think about it, horror films started out in the silent era. They didn't need to wait for the transition to sound that other genres did. Horror films were already popular and always have been. It's a staple of cinema.
the first filming of Frankenstein was in, I think, 1910, and there's been like 60 iterations since then. But like all things, it goes through a cycle of popularity. So I'd argue that the cycle is just repeating itself from the 60s and 70s, like Aoife said. Films are about when and where they were filmed, not when the plot was set. So they reflect the culture we currently live in. So that calls into question, what about our society are these films trying to represent?
I think it's a good point, and it's fair to compare these post-horror films to classics released from the 60s and 70s. But I also believe that what sets the A24 movies apart from any sort of similar slow-paced or atmospheric films from the past is they have a specific focus on this feeling of dread, which tends to stem from a much more human place. For me, the real horror in these films comes from the collapse and failure of places or people who we would typically turn to for refuge. So the safety of our own home, the relationships with our families, the state of our own mind, and so on.
When she got sick, not that she was really even my mom at the end, and not that she would ever feel guilty about anything. And I just don't want to put any more stress on my family.
I completely agree with you about where the horror comes from in these films, which is a perfect lead-in to my next point. Isn't the fact that horror films have abandoned jump scares and gore positive? Now they can appeal to a wider audience. There's less there to immediately turn people off. The kind of people who enjoy traditional horror films may be turned off by them because they're not scared in the typical sense anymore. The emotion that horror elicits doesn't have to be extreme. It can be a feeling of repulsion or foreboding, a heightened sense of alertness that kind of manifests itself physically, you know, goosebumps. The general public is turned off from these films because they're not getting what they're seeking from these movies. They're not getting that adrenaline rush of being frightened. Maybe they just don't want to be horrified in the way that A24 films are attempting to give us.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. Genre fans who are like au fait with the pre-Blumhouse horror would be kind of much more forgiving of the post-horror style scares. The general public, though, perhaps. So those people who don't actively seek out horror movies the way we do, and only go to see the movies that like everyone is talking about because they really expect to jump out of their seats with fright. Like, no one can blame those audiences for being annoyed when they're presented with the likes of It Comes at Night. It's like the slow-paced building of tension with that kind of muted release must be so maddening to them. Like, especially when you compare that particular film with the trailer, which looked like a completely different movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the film's abandoning jump scares necessarily would equate to them being more palatable to a wider audience or anything. I think people who are actively turned off by jump scares tend to have a general dislike towards anything overly grim in film across the board. So I'm not sure that the likes of The Witch or Hereditary would really tick these people's enjoyment boxes, as they still sort of maintain those disturbing elements which many people are kind of looking to avoid when they go to see a movie. On top of that as well, the arthouse approach, kind of slow pace, and the lack of jump scares also eliminates that demographic of moviegoers who are actually looking to get that out of a horror film. So the only wider audience I feel that these movies could really resonate with that maybe would not enjoy traditional horrors are genuine movie buffs, people who have an appreciation for how the films are put together with regard to writing, cinematography, acting, or atmosphere.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Jamie on that one. I can see film buffs who would usually kind of turn their noses up at horror films enjoying these despite their previous prejudices.
There's no denying how well put together these films are. There has been mention, however, of It Comes at Night being the kind of film all audiences are tired of. They've had enough of the whole trapped in isolation during a zombie apocalypse. And even though It Comes at Night isn't that film, it does appear to be at first glance. I think it was Deadline Hollywood who said that poor word of mouth is what kept people from going to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that movie is obviously a far cry from a typical zombie apocalypse movie, but I think the pre-release marketing and the resulting word of mouth, as you said, really sort of hurt the viewership and reputation for the movie, which is a shame.
What's he see?
What's he see?
He heard something. Let's get back in the house. Now!
Dad, someone's in the house.
It's okay, sweetie. It's gonna be okay.
Speaking of marketing, maybe we should turn our attention to the production company that started out this whole conversation. There's been a definite trend in the market to bring out films loaded with jump scares. We're already on the sixth film in the Conjuring universe, with another two in the works, and there's no sign of their profits slowing down.
Audiences live for these types of films. They hear the tinkling, opaling notes in the dark hallway and they know exactly what they're in for. And after audiences got tired of the shaky found footage horror films from Paranormal Activity, this got into vogue. If you ask the average Joe what his favourite horror film is, how many people are going to tell you It Comes at Night? Of course, there's the diehard horror fans who've had a whole repertoire of films under the belt that you've probably never heard of. And I actually just heard about Basket Case, which is a cult film, the other day. But there aren't enough of those people to be heard over all of the tweets and Instagrams of "that was the worst movie I've ever seen" because it wasn't the movie they were expecting to see.
I think it's worth noting that while these films polarised audiences, it would be kind of drawing a false conclusion to assume that the more mainstream Blumhouse equivalents went down much easier. So like Paranormal Activity has an audience score on Rotten Tomatoes of 56%, Annabelle has 36% and The Purge has 30%.
Yeah, I think Aoife has a good point. The only issue that I'd raise with it is, who do we really think the demographic of people logging into Rotten Tomatoes to leave those little reviews are? I think that having a look at the cinema scores would make for a more accurate reflection of the initial audience reactions to these films, since you don't have to log into Rotten Tomatoes or create an account or anything like that just to share your opinion. The scores are defined through ballot polling at the screening of the movies on the first night. So looking at those scores, Hereditary got a D+, It Comes at Night got a D, The Witch probably didn't have a wide enough release as it doesn't actually have a cinema score at all, Mother, the Darren Aronofsky film, famously got an F. And in contrast then, you've got Annabelle, which has a B rating there. Paranormal Activity 2 got a B rating. Insidious 3 got a B+. I feel as though the audience who's bringing in the $143 million box office for Paranormal Activity 4, say, which is nearly twice what Hereditary made, and Hereditary is still, as far as I know, A24's highest grossing film so far. They're generally teenagers looking for a quick spook, and if that's what they get, they'll likely rave about the movie regardless of any critical scrutiny.
Cinema scores are notoriously tough, though, on horror movies. Like, I think between 1986 and 2017, 19 films got an F, and of those 19, more than half of them definitely were horror movies. Although I do concede, obviously, that all those Blumhouse releases you mentioned there, Jamie, have pretty excellent scores. But that makes me wonder, are we kind of looking at this the wrong way? It's not that A24 have a certain je ne sais quoi that leaves critics enamoured and audiences bored. It's not that they're necessarily doing anything all that groundbreaking, but it's that Blumhouse have identified an X factor and they really know how to exploit it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Blumhouse have nailed the formula in terms of kind of churning out these horror films that follow a very similar plot points and similar scare tactics as well. But for the most part, they still remain critically panned and still mainly appeal to one specific demographic of people. And it seems to me that the formula might be starting to fail a little bit since A24 are kind of gaining traction over the past 2 years or so and really finding success with this new breed of slower paced horror that seems to kind of go against the grain with regard to what Blumhouse have laid out for him over the past number of years.
You ask anyone who went to see Hereditary if it's the film they expected from watching the trailer, and if they say yes, they're lying. All of their horror films are like this, and it's a blessing and a curse for them. It means for an audience member you're going in blind, you're never getting what you expected. But for many people, this is exactly what turned them off. They wanted a scary film where they're clutching their popcorn or laughing at the reactions of everyone around them. They're looking for that adrenaline rush of being truly frightened, having a heart quickened, and spending the walk home glancing over their shoulder.
The marketing of these movies is pretty much a crucial talking point for this discussion around these kind of reaction discrepancies. I think arguably every horror film trailer A24 has released so far has been sort of selling these false promises, implying that these movies could be viewed in the same vein as films like It or The Conjuring or Insidious. Inevitably, this sort of leads to disappointment on the part of the people who are going into these movies looking for that exact thing, looking for The Conjuring, looking for the next It, you know, to be sweating bullets for the majority of the movie. Multiple people I've spoken to personally have described movies like Hereditary or It Comes at Night as one of the most boring movies they've seen. But on the flip side, I feel like Hereditary might not have made nearly $80 million at the box office if it was marketed as the film that it actually was. That slow-paced family drama with some horror elements and a sort of gut-wrenching atmosphere, it's a bit of a catch-22, I think, because on the downside, you run the risk of disappointing a large percentage of your audience, but on a positive note, you're raking in enough money to fund that next risky project for them.
In conclusion, these three conflicting opinions suggest that the questions surrounding A24's recent contributions to horror perhaps aren't as black and white as pasting them all with a post-horror label. Whether you consider the style to be a resurrection of a more cerebral approach to horror filmmaking,
or believe it to be an emergence of a totally new genre entirely. One consistent takeaway from this discussion is that these films are worth the price of admission for any movie lover, horror buff or not. Just don't walk into the theatre with any assumptions about what you're going to see. If there's one thing we can all agree on here, it's that A24 movies aren't always what they seem.